This is Open Mic Live. Let's go! Welcome to this week's episode. We have a very special guest coming. Welcome back to, I think I can already say, today's episode of Open Mic Live. We're diving into the third episode of the special holiday series, the Small Business Summit. This episode is all about transformation, how a simple wish or a personal need can ignite the spark of an incredible business. We're meeting three remarkable women today who took their passions and turned them into ventures, each uniquely tied to community, culture, and purpose. We'll hear from Laura, whose mission to create equal opportunities in education led her to launch Nikki, short for Now You Know It, a social tutoring company that offers one-to-one lessons to children in all school subjects with an adapted pricing based on family income. Then we'll meet Cici, who's preserving her heritage through a Mandarin language school for children, building bridges amongst families along the way. Little Panda was established in 2018, aiming to provide a fun and interactive Mandarin program to young children from babies to pupils. They firmly believe that being a good teacher is not about how much one can teach, but how to get the students interested in the subjects so they're willing to learn. And finally, we're going to meet Paulina, who found a creative solution to a problem many parents face and turned it into a space for families, fitness, and connection. The idea behind Laboratorium was to create a happy place for families where they can spend time in calm without too much noise and stress. They also provide parents with the possibility to do sports while seeing their children play. With her is the so far youngest guest of Open Mic Live, her daughter Charlene. So please excuse the little cute interruptions that we have in this episode. Each of these women has a story that will inspire and empower you. So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and join me as we explore how dreams become reality in the hands of passionate entrepreneurs. Welcome to Open Mic Life. I'm very happy to have you all here. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Thank you very well.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thanks for having us.
Of course. It was really great to see how many different small businesses there are in Luxembourg, women owned. And just when I posted about this initiative, to see the diversity. And today with us, we have Laura, Cici, and Paulina. And they're focused in different industries. But as I said before, what brings them together is their drive to do something on their own. And we're going to start with Laura. So welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
You have a social tutoring company. What I found really interesting is that you adapt your prices based on the family's income.
Absolutely.
So what moved you to do that? Was there a specific instance that gave you this idea?
So basically, my first experiences were both on the charity side. Mm-hmm. So I worked in different charities here in Luxembourg. And I also worked with a company for their CSR strategy. Okay. And I realized that, you know, we need to find a happy medium between bad companies that just give a bit of money on one side and good charities that just do everything for the good reasons, or mm-hmm. so as the image that we have on the other side. And we need to have social initiatives that are financially independent, because the biggest problem of traditional charities mm-hmm. is that they are fully dependent on the donations that they will receive. So what will they do if one year they do not have enough donations, but they still have a mission to accomplish? And so that's the whole purpose of social entrepreneurship. And when I discovered that, when I finished my studies, my master's degree, I thought, oh, that is exactly the solution that we need to implement. You know, having this independence, financial independence of a business, and at the same time, this social impact of a charity. And so during my last internship, so I was working in a charity helping children with cancer, and we had some person coming. It was a teenager coming in, which I didn't know. So I asked my colleagues, who is that person and why is he coming? And they said, oh, yeah, it's just someone coming for some tutoring for one of the children that we're helping. And I said, oh, all right. And is it working? And they were like, yeah, you know, we don't really get complaints from the family, but we're a bit surprised because he doesn't seem very motivated and seems to be coming for the money. And I thought, oh, okay, so those families have a need. They already have huge expenses because of all of what's related to, you know, child cancer, for example, and all the expenses that go around. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how can we help with tutoring, but in a more adapted way? And so I started from there, and then I realized that school tutoring is actually fully, you know, based on family income. And it's not only me saying it. Actually, there was an independent report addressed to the European Commission in 2011. And they said that school tutoring is one of the major factor of social inequalities, because families who can afford the best lessons and the most lessons will be privileged families, while underprivileged families will just stay in a complicated situation where they won't get external support. And so I decided to do a pricing strategy where we adapt our prices based on family income. So we have a standard price that's aligned with what other companies do on the market. But then we adapt the prices with discounts from 10 to 100%, meaning that some families will receive free lessons with us, knowing that the tutor that is helping them is always being paid the same price. Rather, they go see a family who pays the standard price or a family that pays nothing at all. Because we want to make sure that all families are receiving the same quality of tutoring.
Yes, of course.
So that's where it came from.
Of course, because then if you are already in a privileged position and can get the best education, then you become even more so privileged.
That's exactly
it. That's really great. But we also have somebody else who is focused on kids today with us, and a completely different niche, so to say. So Cici, welcome to the podcast. And you... actually, your passion is to teach Mandarin to young kids.
Yes.
So where are you from?
I'm originally from Beijing, China.
Okay. And when did you come to Luxembourg?
I came to Luxembourg in 2014. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I also finished my master's here in multilingual education. So it's a very, it's my background, and professionally it's linked to the business I'm running today.
Very nice. And you said that what drove you to start your business was your genuine interest in your kids to learn Mandarin.
Yes, initially that I gave birth to my baby girl in 2017, and I started to realize that children from mixed culture families have this challenge to maintain a connection with their heritage. Mm-hmm. So we were I initiated the group with a bunch of other families who has either both Chinese parents or half Chinese parents, or and both parents are not a second generation immigrants. And so we were a group of 7-8, and when we were just sit together, and we sing songs, and I would tell the story to the kids, and we play together. So it was the environment that how I started the Little Panda group.
Wonderful. And it's a very cute name, if I might say so.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, because it's such a niche business, did you ever think, well, are there enough people here that I can actually start a business for this?
That's a very good question. First of all, my clients were my students and not necessarily from a Chinese background, not initially started. So currently that we have over 100 students registered. This is all exactly our target. So we really back to I think it's very interesting and children, because our class is like that. Our babies are from an 18 month that we joined the little panda group, and so they are we have a maximum of 8 babies at one group. And sometimes they cry, sometimes they are not happy with what I was doing. But it's very neutral, it's all part of the process. And I will never think young babies need to be disciplined in class. So that's our approach, that we do interactive, and we are always fun, and we're engaging, and we are completely in a very happy try to be a happy moment.
Yes.
I just wanted to bounce on the questions that you asked about being niche and maybe too niche. Actually, I would say it's sometimes the exact opposite. When mm-hmm. you want to answer the need of everyone, then you answer the need of no one.
Yeah.
And that's actually a mistake that I made when I started my business, because I wanted to say yes to everyone and to make sure that everyone would feel like, you know, they can be involved. And so I was saying, you know, we're doing tutoring, but we're also doing language lessons for adults. And we are also doing, and I was trying everything. To cover everything yeah. exactly yeah. so that everyone would feel concerned. And in the end, it just, you know, kind of made the message not that clear anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I would say it's actually better to do the opposite. And maybe it's too niche at first, but at least the customers that you will be targeting, they will know that you're actually exactly targeting them. And then you can open to other offers once you know that mm-hmm. this one is working.
Yeah.
Yes. Very nice. Yeah. I completely agree. I think mm-hmm. it really comes to your age and your interest and your passion. And then we are a Mandarin school, but we also do get demand of business Chinese as well. We do that as well, but as a really, really small aspect of our business. But we really focus on the babies and the toddlers and the preschoolers.
Exactly. And there's such a big difference between, you know, like targeting them specifically in your communication rather than accepting the offers when you receive them. You know, it's not because when you target, for example, babies and Chinese language lessons, right, for babies, sometimes you will have their parents saying, oh, but actually I would be also interested on the business side.
Yeah.
It's a whole difference between putting business Chinese lessons on your website and target them specifically versus accepting the offer when you actually receive it. Exactly. And you can accept all requests you get if you feel okay with accepting them. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you have to be like talking about all of them publicly.
Well, very nice. This is brings a really nice contrast of how you both see it, and that in fact, no matter how small the community is, they have needs, and when you answer them, you can make a business out of it. And
absolutely.
With us today, we also have Paulina.
Hello.
Welcome. So, who do you have with you today?
I have my daughter Charlene, who is now 14 months old, and she's going everywhere with me. So today, I brought her with.
Very nice. It's lovely to have her too. And we already heard her opinion on my questions. Let me ask you about your business. You created a space where families can get together and spend a calm time together. That's what the focus is. Something that I saw that distinguished you from many other places is that you wanted to create a physical space.
Yes. To get rid of the space dedicated to the children. Mm-hmm. Because when I was home with my kids, and I'm someone who likes to move a lot and was always doing a lot of sports, I didn't have the opportunity to go to a gym. Mm-hmm. And I come from a country where we take our kids almost everywhere. So it's really a family-driven atmosphere, let's say.
And so then where are you from?
From Slovakia.
Okay.
So when I go back home to my parents and I want to go to gym, I can take my kids with me and there's no problem at all.
Okay.
So then I thought once when I will open a space, I will give this opportunity to moms to mm-hmm. do their sport while the kids are playing and they can feel comfortable in that space that because they see their children and they do not need to be separated.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the whole idea behind Laboratorium, which started already before in a restaurant where we started to do with a friend of mine some specific events for families where we really wanted to include everyone to have a quality time all together.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what I was always missing in Luxembourg, like to go somewhere, not to a shopping center, where you can spend the quality time with your kids while chatting with your friends, for example, and everyone is together and you do not need to put your child somewhere behind the wall.
Yeah, for example. That sounds exactly right. And what you see a lot in different countries is that you have these spaces or gyms where there is childcare included.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you come from a country where this is, you know,
normal.
the norm, exactly.
Yes.
So probably because there are so many expats here, they maybe share your experience and we're missing this place.
From what I see and also the feedback from the moms, they are very happy because they can come, they have a calm time with their kids. Mm-hmm. We work with the reservation system, so we never have too many kids inside because we don't want this noise, you know, and the overstimulation of kids.
Yeah.
And all. This is what I never liked in these kids spaces, that there was a lot of noise and then for parents it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So
because it stimulates in a different way.
Too much and too many lights and it's dark. So we have daylight and it's really a cozy atmosphere where you can just spend 2-3 hours as you wish with your children mm-hmm. and everyone enjoys.
I have also more serious questions for you, but is the bad weather an additional inspiration behind creating a space like this?
Not really, but to be honest, it helps. It helps us because myself, when there is sun outside, I'm not going in indoor playgrounds. I am always trying to go somewhere to the woods and so on, because then the kids needs to use their energy somewhere in a good way. But
helps.
It helps.
Okay, great. I want to ask you all a little bit about the communities that you're creating. And maybe, Laura, we can go back to you. How do you see the community that is being formed around your business?
I actually see that we mostly benefit in some extent from the community that families have around them. Because what I notice is that tutoring is very, I mean, a lot of people are a bit ashamed of needing tutoring for their children because it sounds like, oh, okay, they're not doing well enough at school, which is why I need extra help. And we noticed that actually they really need recommendations, and they really need to have recommendations from people they trust. Okay. And so that's how we get involved in communities, mostly. So when I say we benefit from it, we also give, of course, back to them. Yeah. But it's also that we see that when one parent is happy, they don't hesitate to share it around. Yeah. And then we end up pretty much knowing all the family or all the neighborhood. You know, we get sometimes cousins, we get neighbors, we get people who know each other and who are like, what's nice then is that in our in the corridor in our office, you know, like, children, no, actually they already chat together, you know, they're like, oh, hey, how are you today?
Okay,
and it's so nice to see that they just, you know, they don't see our offices as one more school that they have to go to. And actually we decorated it so that it doesn't look like another school. But they really have this approach of like, oh yeah, that's another place where I sometimes meet people I like. And you know, they just get to discuss a little bit together sometimes in the corridor and things like that.
That's
so
wonderful.
We see that, yeah, exactly, that's the community we see we create. And also, so now it's been like almost 7 years that I started Niki, and I realized that some needs of the families or some questions of the students are coming
again and again.
Yeah. And so 2 months ago, I decided to start a newsletter as well to share some of those information that families need. So sometimes if I give you the latest example, it's just to share some ideas of educational Christmas gifts that are not going to be completely useless and thrown in the bin after 2 months. Sometimes it can be answering questions like that, and sometimes it's more school related, like for example one of the previous editions was about, you know, the mistakes that are all so commonly made for preparing exams. So that's the community that now I'm trying to build, is to allow them to have an open space where they can actually also write that there's a comment section, so they can see the comments of each other. So it's also somewhere where they can also add up on what each other is going to say. So
okay, that's really nice. And that's one way, from what you said before, to look at it. You, of course, create the community around you, but you also tap into their communities and you see what their needs are. It's really nice. That's very good. Something that I have not really experienced so far is finding people that I can really connect with from Bulgaria here. So, and I have seen other countries and other nationalities that really have a wonderful community. Hi, Shirley. Does it feel strong and powerful to have people from your original country here? And does it make you feel more at home to have them also here?
Definitely. I think to have people from your same background and culture, understand the same culture, culturally wise, understood each other easier. And of course, it feel like makes me feel more comfortable also in the country that it's not my origin. From Little Panda, that I see that the people who join our class are not necessarily from a Chinese background. And actually, majority are from everywhere else.
Okay, that's very interesting. So, you, like even the children.
all the children are actually not native Chinese speakers.
Okay.
Yes. So actually, I do see myself almost like a culture translator or this like mediator in between, like to connect the people who are interested in Chinese culture with the Chinese community. Mm-hmm. So we do, of course, in the seasonal festivals, we have a big gatherings. Yes, yeah. We connect people who wanted to know more and curious about the culture and but don't know the way, and then through our lessons, through the courses that we offer for the babies.
Yes.
And the parents are also very involved as well. Actually, they join with the babies and they're learning all together. And then they we see each other also in these big events. And mm-hmm. every time there's a big festival, Spring Festival, and Mid-Autumn Festival, and all these festivals. So I see myself as a very important role that I bring people, connect people together.
It really sounds very, like it. Yes. It really sounds like it. And not only that, but also perhaps as an ambassador of this culture.
Yes, yes, yeah. That would be very,
very good nice. Very nice. And Paulina, because Sissy was talking now about how she can see that the parents are communicating more with their children in this way, do you think that with your business, you're helping parents connect with their children in a different way?
You already see many families coming together and playing together, mm-hmm. meaning that you have the dads who will go to the structures with their children or play the laser game all together. So they come together as a family, the parents can take a coffee, and then they always play with their children through the visit.
Okay.
We have also some animals which we show them, and then creates really a great atmosphere. And you have mm-hmm. the families which are coming back and coming back and coming back because they feel good in our space. And also there is a community of people which I created thanks to this kind of activities mm-hmm. which became friends. And without these people, I would be never able to do what we are doing today.
Mm-hmm. Because, that's wonderful.
Because with so many activities, it's just difficult to combine all together. Because this laboratorium is just a hard project; it's not my main activity.
Okay,
it's just something which I always wanted to do, mm-hmm. and it's my fourth job, let's say. So it's an everyday run. But someone asked me if it's really worth all this energy, mm-hmm. and it is. Because then you come and then you see all these parents and then you chat with the parents. You know, as we are from Slovakia and the Slovakian community is not that big in Luxembourg. And then you don't really have the same friends as you had back in your country. So for me, it's a big pleasure to speak with the moms, you know, who have similar problems. And then it creates really a great atmosphere, a small, happy place, let's say, for me, at least in Luxembourg. There is always someone who will take a look, keep an eye on their children.
All of you are involved within your communities in a way that, because it also has a social aspect, have you received any help from the government, for example?
No.
Have you asked for it?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, it's tutoring is really complicated. And again, in the report that I was telling you about published back in 2011, it was already said. So it's not specific to Luxembourg. It's true throughout Europe. Tutoring is always a bit complex because it is sometimes perceived wrongly, in my opinion, but I can understand it as some form of competition towards the quality of school, which I do not perceive as that, because what I always say is, you know, if it's a student who is going through school bullying, you can give them the best teacher in the world, the smell of their room, the everything in their room is putting them in an anxiety level that does not put them in the best conditions to learn. So it's not about competing, it's about complementing each other and trying to find a way to work together.
Mm-hmm. But because it is seen as competing with schools, perhaps you were denied government.
Exactly, exactly. It is very open to, very complicated, sorry, to open the door towards ministries and everything for that reason, which I understand. Again, you know, I chose the name of Nikki because it's the initials of Now You Know It. So just to insist on the fact that I want to put children at the center of their learning experience. But, you know, if you look at the name of my competitors, it's very much half accusing school of not doing the work, you know, even yeah. just by the name they choose, they already okay. can, I mean, the name you choose for your business is already saying something about the values that you want mm-hmm. to share there. You don't choose the name just because it came to your mind at some mm-hmm. point. So I fully understand the position, because historically school yeah. tutoring has been positioning and marketing itself as complaining what school is not doing well enough. That is absolutely not my position, but I have to prove them that that's not my position before yeah. I get any door open, and that apparently takes a lot of time.
Okay, well, that's very interesting, and for sure it will be interesting to hear mm-hmm. how this developed later yeah. on. Yeah.
However, I do receive support from donators, mm-hmm. Companies that decide to support, private donators that decide mm-hmm. to support the initiative. So I'm not fully left alone, and okay. I do want to yeah. take a second to mention yeah. that, because I really appreciate the support that I receive from various foundations that have supported us since the beginning of our launch.
So I think financially we are quite independent, and as similar as Paulina, this is not my only job. Yeah. So I think my passion also supports my business as well. So so then the answer is, I think for the moment, that I think we are quite okay for
very good.
Like independently running this.
That's very good to hear. Project. That's very good to hear, because I do think that often small business and small business owner is associated with you're struggling, etc. I think all of you look like you're doing great, so I'm very happy about that. Paulina, tell me, how do you see the next step for Laboratorium? Because I see you put so much work into it, and you've developed it with a concept. Is there a next level that you want to reach?
Yes, we are going to try to open the laboratorium to people, kids with specific needs, mm-hmm. because we already had a few families which came with the children with, for example, autistic spectrum.
Yeah.
And when the kids came more times, they felt like home, and you could see it with the child, because wow. It's always it's the same space. I was there, so they knew me already. So this is our next step. And then during the week to create mom groups mm-hmm. for moms who are home with their children and they want to come to play and have a coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with some workshops for the kids, which I am not able to do, but it's a friend of mine who will do mm-hmm. with the little ones.
Okay.
So this is now the project for 2025. I will need to reorganize a bit my time schedule. I have three kids, and it's really every day run.
Yeah.
But I think with a bit of organization, we will go again a bit further to do something good.
Very nice. Very nice. And I'm looking forward to coming back and telling us more about the next steps. So before we wrap up, you already told us your dream for the next step. Laura, can you tell me your dream for the next step?
To be able to answer all the requests we receive, no matter where they're all located in Luxembourg. Because for now, it's always a bit complicated to have a team of tutors who can cover absolutely everywhere. My dream would be that we can find first best solution for every student that reaches out to us. So if they ask for in-person home-based lessons in Vianden, mm-hmm. My dream would be that we can just really meet each of our students' needs at the very, very best.
Our next step will be a bit similar as LR, that mm-hmm. we wanted to also to have a ability to cover also kids from different regions of the country and then far. And currently we have babies and toddlers, they drive with their parents, obviously, mm-hmm. from the border countries. And okay. so it's really to our office, to our classroom. So we would be, it would be ideal if we could open another space somewhere else, and then we'll be closer to other families that be far from the center of the city of Luxembourg.
Okay, very nice. So you'll also come back and tell us more about it, I hope.
Well, sure do. Thank you.
And before we wrap up, can you share your experience of being part of this project?
For me, it's a very nice experience. It is the first time in my life, so I was really happy to come here, because I think for all the people who are really trying to do something new and to open something new and to bring joy to Luxembourg, it's really a great opportunity to speak about the project and mm-hmm. also to let the people know that something like that exists. For yeah. example, mm-hmm. I didn't know, because for my son, you know, I was searching for tutoring and so on, and literally it saved us. The yeah. school is perfect, but just the different nationality absolutely. And the language and so on and so on.
Absolutely.
I did it for 4 years and it saved us completely. So
exactly.
If I would knew. So I think it's a really, really very nice initiative from your side, and thank you very much for letting us participate.
Of course.
I agree, and I would say you're opening the door to new dynamics. You're opening something great, and I look forward to the next episode.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for bringing us together. That I think this conversation is really inspiring, and we do have the possibility to, you know, talk our ideas out and then discuss with each other, and then that's really a nice initiative. So I will listen to other episodes.
I hope so. I hope so. Thank you all so much for coming. I wish you happy holidays. All the best. Thank you. A lot of success.
Thank you very much.
And thanks. I look forward to welcoming you back.
Absolutely.
Thank you for tuning in. See you next week on Open Mic Live.